What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Is it once saved, always saved? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, a pastor in Suffolk, serving Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon. Welcome to the program. Today's question was sent to me by the ELCE's chairman, Pastor John Ehlers. Not because he doesn't know the answer, but because we had been talking about how we both recently had long conversations on this topic with people who wanted us to say yes. Once you're saved by Jesus, you're always saved. You can't fall away. And in fact, we both heard the idea in various stages of development that people who do fall away from the Christian faith weren't Christians to begin with. So it is an important question and one that needs a straight answer. Is it once saved, always saved? The straight answer is no. Asked another way, is it possible for a Christian to fall away from the faith? We're not talking about struggling with sins and doubts, but coming to a point whereby Jesus is totally pushed aside and totally rejected. The straight answer is, sadly, yes, it is possible. The problem I encountered in my conversation was that I was then accused of robbing people of the certainty of their salvation in Christ. I hope not, was my reply. And turning the gospel and salvation into something we must do and keep doing to be saved. Or to use other terminology, of turning the gospel into law. To which again I replied, I hope not. I hold that our salvation is God's work, through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus for us. That we are saved by grace alone, and this is not our doing, so not one of us can boast. I also hold that all people are dead in their sins, that this is our natural state, our starting position, as it were, and that if people are lost or condemned, it is their own fault. I am aware that there is a tension, I prefer to think of it as a mystery, in what I've said. Logic dictates that God determines our salvation and damnation, or we do. Many churches overtly or more subtly teach this, but not the Lutheran Church. For we teach this mystery, that God is the author of our salvation, and to him be the glory and credit. And we are the authors of our separation from God, and are responsible for it. We can't claim credit for our salvation, and God, who wants all people to be saved, doesn't choose or select those who are lost. To go the way of logic is to actually forfeit the comfort of the gospel, and rob sinners of that comfort. What we must do is return to the Bible, where we find the very messages I've spoken about. Yes, it is possible for Christians to fall away from the faith. Yes, God saves people, and his grace is without limits, and he holds them in the truth that whether they live or whether they die, they are with the Lord. The Bible is written into a human landscape of sin, and the possibility that people can lose their faith. The Bible encourages and exhorts and pleads and calls people to be aware of what is going on, to persevere in the faith. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. When talking about the signs of the end of the age, Jesus said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's from Matthew chapter 24. The whole point of Paul's letter to the Galatians is that they had heard and believed the gospel of Jesus, had received the grace of God, but now, if they followed the false teachers who came to them afterwards, claiming that they first had to become Jews before they could be Christian, in other words, the Gentiles had to be circumcised and follow the law, and having heard what is going on after he left them, Paul writes a passionate, even angry letter, because the Galatians' salvation is now in jeopardy. Read the whole letter and see this landscape. But for now, just listen to part of chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Paul encouraged the Colossians not to fall away, but to persevere. So in Colossians chapter 1 we hear, And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul is not the only one who says these sorts of things. The writer to the Hebrews says, in chapter 3, Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. These passages and many others make no sense if it is once saved, always saved. These passages also make no sense if the people being addressed are not Christians. The seriousness and earnestness of the messages is precisely because these people are those who have received God's grace in Christ, who have been given faith in Jesus, and who live in that relationship, and are now being encouraged to grow in it. Now, there are occasions in the New Testament when Christians are falling away, maybe by refusing to repent of their sins, or they are living on their terms, telling Jesus to go jump, thank you very much. And this is much more than a disciple struggling with sins or anxieties or doubts. Here we're entering the world of pastoral care, tough love maybe, church discipline in pastoral theology books. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Again, we're talking about a Christian brother here who was on a path that would be disastrous for his salvation. And this action is designed to show him the seriousness of the situation and call him back to Jesus, to God's grace, and the repentance that God's love brings about. It is important to note, to hear, to take in, that all those who stumble, or who even fall away, no matter how prodigal they are, can find their Heavenly Father's warm embrace, and a realization that God is always reaching out to us. Can the fallen return? Can the sinner repent? Can those who have wandered after other gods return to the true God? Yes, yes, yes. The Holy Spirit doesn't give up on us. Jesus died for us all, The Father wants all people to be saved. And I can say this and more confidently because salvation is God's business. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And that's in John chapter 10. Paul can say confidently to the Romans, and I can say the same to you. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. These and countless other passages teach that we are saved because God does it, and he keeps those who are saved because he preserves our faith, assuring Christians that their inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This assurance of God's action for us is just as biblical as the teaching that it is possible for believers to fall away from the faith. Just what is going on? Many people ask. The answer is straightforward, and we are dealing with what Lutherans call the application of law and gospel. If you say, once saved, always saved, then it isn't hard to imagine that people will eventually do as they wish, because that is our nature, even as Christians who want to follow Jesus. We know that our sinful selves are not too far under the surface, and we all want to do what we want. Once saved, always saved, can easily lead to pride and a cheap, or maybe a lazy discipleship, in name only, so to speak, having knowledge but not trust. And it is James who reminds us that faith without works is dead. Have I slipped back into secretly saying that it is our obedience or struggle to be obedient that justifies and saves us? No. 1,000 times, no. There is nothing we can do to be saved. We just live in our salvation as a consequence of it, not as earning it or making us worthy. Our salvation is only by grace alone, through faith alone, focused on Jesus alone. These two messages exist because at different times people need to hear them. There are times when Christians need to be encouraged and challenged in their faith because the relationship God has established is real and is evident in how we behave. Temptation, persecution, our own sinful struggles all provide environments when following Jesus is hard, and we are encouraged to be faithful to the one who is always faithful to us, no matter our faithlessness. There are also times, maybe in those tough times, when we know our weaknesses, our failings and shame, and we wonder about our discipleship, our behavior, why we can't seem to stop certain sins, and our salvation seems distant or insecure. And God then comforts us with his love and mercy, assures us that our salvation is secure, picks us up, dusts us off, cleans us up from the muck we're in, and gives us a new start. In fact, that's how we live as Christians, one day at a time, struggling with sin, seeking to love those around us as we follow Jesus. Once saved, always saved? No. It is possible to fall away. But take heart, because nothing can separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus. So let me conclude with a story. I like stories, and the novel by Bo Goetz, The Hammer of God, is one of my favourites. It's about three Swedish pastors who served the same parish at different times and learned to trust God. Describing it like that makes it sound absolutely riveting, I know. It was the best book I read in 1981. There is a scene where an old man is dying, and Pastor Friedfeld has been called to his bedside. The man's adult daughter was with her father, but by this stage the old man was lapsing in and out of coma. Before the pastor had arrived, the daughter had implored her father to keep thinking about Jesus. "You are thinking about Jesus, are you not, father?" But the old man replied, "I am not able to, Lena. I can't think any longer. But I know that Jesus is thinking of me." And then, as the man drifted in and out of consciousness, memories, words from his past came to his lips, and the pastor and the daughter were shocked to hear, even then, grudges, jealousies, blasphemies, lusts coming out of the man's lips. The daughter was ashamed and the pastor was shocked. Sin was evident at the end. To give the daughter a last moment with her father, the pastor took the daughter's young baby, who had begun crying, out of the hut. No matter how much he tried to console the little one, the baby screamed, arched his back, bellowed, and would not be placated. Surely, the pastor thought, human nature, from the cradle to the grave, was bent on having its own way, trying to dominate others and making its will supreme. He gave an evasive answer when the daughter asked if her father died a blessed death. "Where does this leave human beings?" wondered the pastor as he rushed to the church to take the Sunday morning service. And it was through the sermon that Pastor Friedfeld found the answer. It was in the old man's words. Life with God, now and for eternity, is never based on human effort, works, or belief on a particular day, but simply on the grace of God, his undeserved love. The good news was precisely good news because it didn't rely on people. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. "I'm not able to, Lena. I can't think any longer. But I know that Jesus is thinking of me." It has been said that this love God has for us, this grace, is a holy madness. None of us deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't barter for it. We don't accumulate it with a series of good deeds or lose it with bad deeds. It is God's gift to us through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of his Son, Jesus. Jesus has defeated the power of every single thing that can separate us from God and each other, and declares to us and to the world, "I love you, I forgive you, don't be afraid. I am with you, I am for you, never against you." And if that doesn't give us a desire, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, to struggle with sin and the principalities and powers that are against us, I don't know what will. As Paul said, nothing in all the world will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the basis for our living. And I have a bit of a PS. More aspects to today's awkward question can be found in the podcasts of this program. In particular, you might want to check out What is the Sin Against the Holy Spirit? Why do Lutherans go easy on sin? And Original Sin Can't Be Right, Can It? You'll find those on the website. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.